Hello and welcome to our monthly Member Solutions teleconference call, and I hope I find everyone doing great and prospering in the new year. This is our third conference call of 2006, and I think we're doing really, really well so far. There's been so much information that we've shared with all of our Member Solutions clients, so just let me quickly recap. So far, I've done 12 weekly emails, and these are sent to you directly from the office of Member Solutions. So if you're not getting them, then please call the office and update your email addresses. Melody Schumann has done 3 reports as well as two conference calls as well as 1 upcoming one. And Melody and myself have been available as well as some of the staff at Member Solutions for one-on-one conference calls. Now I know that Melody and I specifically are available to share all of our information and knowledge with you and happy to do so. So if you're a martial arts school busting at the seams with not a question in the world, then I realize why you wouldn't be on these calls or taking advantage of these perks. But if not, my question to you is why you're not taking advantage of this unbelievable service. And while I can say I'm sure that, you know, many people will say I just don't have the time and, you know, it's life that is getting in the way and, you know, this is something that I hear commonly, but I think that if you are interested in building your school, making it a better place for your students, and growing your business and becoming more financially successful, I would recommend to you to take advantage of these unbelievably free, I must say, free services that Member Solutions offer to you. Before we get started on the topic of the week, I wanted to go over a few things. In the past, I've spoken about books that I've read that have had a tremendous impact on my life. Last year, I was giving a book review or kind of a book recommendation every single or every other conference call. So I'd like to start off by doing that and recommending a few books. And these are some books that I've recommended in the past, but I'd like to do it again for our new members. And I'd like to recommend 7 books to people. So if you guys have a pen handy, write these down and then go out and buy them in the bookstore and discipline yourself to read, you know, 1 or 2 a month. Or as I do, I force myself to read 3 to 4 books a month. So the first book I recommend is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That was written by Stephen Covey. Unbelievable book. I think that it's probably one of the most impactful books in the industry for business and being self-employed as well as just being an effective individual. So The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. The second book I recommend was a long-awaited book by Stephen Covey, and it's called The 8th Habit. Now, if you buy this book, The 8th Habit, I think still you get a DVD included with your purchase of the book. Or if you don't, go to his website, and I believe you could get the book and the DVD. And the DVD has, I'm thinking, probably like 13 to 14 unbelievably powerful mini-movies that are tied into each chapter of the book. And the movies are so insightful as far as our mentality as human beings and so on. So anyway, that's a great, great push for the 8th Habit. Number 3, I recommend Developing the Leaders Around You. This was written by, I believe the first name is John, but it's Maxwell is the last name, M-A-W-E-L-L, Developing the Leaders Around You. Number 4 is probably the most unbelievable paradigm shift as far as money making is Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Rob Kiyosaki. It's Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Rob Kiyosaki, and I recommend all of his books. He's got so many different books on, you know, corporations and how to keep your money and tax loopholes of the rich and famous and you know, all these things. So anyway, I would recommend Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Rob Kiyosaki and all of his books. The 5th is Leadership by Mayor Giuliani. He was the one who helped us through 9/11, and he was just an unbelievable leader, and his book was phenomenal. I got some great ideas when I read it about 4 years ago. And to this day, I'm still using one of the most important things, which is I do a staff meeting on Monday with every one of my staff meeting members. And it's pretty much like what we call a roundtable discussion, and we go through our list of things that we do, but everyone is there and present and held accountable so that no one person could ever say, well, I was supposed to do this, but the other guy was supposed to do that, and I didn't do it because of him. Well, everyone's there at the table, so no one could ever pulling the blame off on anybody. So anyway, Leadership by Mayor Giuliani. The next one is just a spiritual book, which I just believe helps people in everyday life, and it's called The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama. It's not about Buddhism, although the Dalai Lama is a Tibetan Buddhist, but it does talk about just everyday life and how to handle the stress of life and this perspective on it. And the last one, I just read this book, although I've read many books by him, but I read this book just 2 months ago called Trump, The Art of the Deal, and it's by Donald Trump. And it was a phenomenal book. The one thing that I found most interesting was that Donald Trump, what he does within a day, how much that man could actually do within one day. And while I'm on it, I would recommend to you guys to watch this season's episode of The Apprentice. Now, I know some of you maybe have no time for TV, and some of you may not have any interest in reality TV, but I do believe that this show is not just reality TV. To me, it's a pure show on business. It has a great deal of excitement and Hollywood appeal, but I've learned so much from this show that I can't begin to start telling you which I've learned, but I recommend it highly. And if you don't watch it, you're missing out on yet another free network of business information. Donald Trump is really teaching us a lot, whether you like him or not, or, you know, whatever it is. I think that it's just the show itself is just extremely highly impactful show as far as how to run your business and how to deal with employees and mentality as far as project tasks and getting things done and so on. Okay, so this week's conference call is about how to establish our self-worth and pricing your school for success. Now, for some, it may have sparked interest, and for others, the thought's really not clear. And then I'm sure there's a particular segment of our clients that just can't see any way out of what they're in. And I want to help clear up some questions that may arise. So what is self-worth, and what do I mean by pricing your school for success? I'm going to go over a bunch of different things throughout this teleconference, and then at the end, if you have any questions, I'll ask, and I could help you. But I know because to some extent I'm still caught in a paradigm and I believe that in order to grow, well, I used to believe this, and I still to some extent still believe it, that in order to grow my school, I have to market more, and I have to get more students. So, for instance, if I have 100 students now, and I'm making $10,000 a month, which is pretty realistic, then if I want to make $20,000 or $20,000 a month, I need to have 200 students. While mathematically this is totally true, I believe that this is the thinking in this way of thinking is flawed. The main goal is to reach a particular safety net of income per month. Our safety net includes all of our expenses, which are your bills and overhead, and it also should include your salary as well as all your employees' salary. Now, there are too many times that a studio owner or business owner doesn't include their salary and their overhead. So what happens is on a good month you get paid and on bad months you don't. And I'm sure we've all experienced this, and to this day I still experience it. So this is not what I would call financial security in any way. So we're kind of left open to, you know, pretty much chance as it stands. So getting back to the paradigm of 100 students equaling $10,000 per month, for some this is not a fact, simply because many of the martial arts schools are charging far below industry standards. The industry standard, in my opinion, from my research and from the people that I speak with here at Member Solutions, are around, I'd say, anywhere from $110 to $129 per month. This is on a basic program. In my school, we're about $120 per month at our most basic program. Now, there are those schools out there that are doing all the right things, and they're top in their field, and they're in the right areas as well, and they would think nothing less of you know, charging $199 to $250 per month, and their clients are spending it without even a thought in the world. Now, before I move forward, I could say that I've heard the argument regularly from school owners, and this is some of the things that I hear. They say that they're not located in an area that warrants that kind of money. And I've heard this from my schools in Bermuda, at my Bermuda location, and again in my Costa Rica location. And with them struggling, I ask for them to do me a favor and just with 100% effort, try what I do for a few months, and if it didn't work, they could go back to what they felt the market would bear, and each time that they tried what I asked them to try, they were shocked at what the market paid. They couldn't believe that people, wherever they were located, were paying what they were paying here on Long Island, or they were paying in Manhattan, or, you know, they were paying in other places. They just didn't think that they could warrant that kind of money. But when they did try it and they got the kind of money, they kicked themselves, realizing that they could have done it sooner, and they were always asking themselves the question, could they have gone even higher without the resistance that they thought they were going to get? Now, I found that each time I raised my prices, I have found hardly anyone have balked at the price increase. At one point, I raised my prices for children nearly 50%, and I only lost two or three students. And I found out later that it really wasn't the price at all, that they were on their way out due to other reasons. But back to my point, what are you worth? And here are a few things that will determine, or help, I hope will help you determine your self-worth. Really, the number one thing is you have to ask yourself the main question, what do you really have to offer? Is your school dirty, unfinished, smelly? When people come in, do they get the impression that they're not getting what they pay for? Are you professional as possible, or are you only one half as professional as the karate school down the road, or maybe the Sylvan Learning Center, or maybe the gymnastic studio or dance studio? These are the questions that you have to ask yourself. Some of us are stuck in this time warp where we just go to work, go into our school, and we build our school based on this vision that we have had, which is kind of an antiquated vision from the past, and we don't really see what's out there. As I travel the country as a consultant, I'm able to see the good and the bad of the martial art industry, but what I'm finding is the shift in professionalism. That I think that in order to survive as a martial arts school, you have to be top-notch. But I still see those, and I'm going to say this loosely, is the dungeon dojos, that they're claiming that the martial arts is the only important thing, and they don't realize that perception is reality. So what do you really have to offer? That's what you have to ask yourself. The second thing is, what are you doing to let people know of your value? Do you self-promote? Just yesterday while speaking with someone on my one-on-one calls, by the way, all you guys need to do to get on these one-on-one calls is call Member Solutions office and set up an appointment. I have a few up and coming, and the one that's up and coming is on the 8th of this month, another one's on the 14th, and another's on the 24th of March. And this is all you do is set it up, and it's a 20-minute conference call. But anyway, back to our school owner. The school owner was having a bit of a struggle with some parents tallying up the student's head count as he was teaching. They were sitting in the lobby figuring out how much he was making. Literally, they were tallying up his tuition based on the students. Now, before I go on, I want to tell you a little story. At one point many years ago, three of my students' moms asked me to come in during the day to meet with them to go over some of their concerns. When they arrived, I sat down with them and asked them what was wrong, and they told me that they thought that I should be driving a clunker. Now, those are their exact words, and I'm like, a clunker? I look confused, and I ask what they meant, and the one mom, obviously the ringleader and probably the one that started it all and conjured up all this energy for the other moms to come in, they said, we see you drive up in your brand new Corvette every single day, and we can't help but think that we're paying for your car payments. Now, of course, I laughed, and I said, really, why are you guys here? And they had gone on to say that this is really the true reason why they showed up. Now, of course, without showing it, my head was about to explode with anger, but I remained calm and explained to them that why would they want to be in a school and have the leader of the school, the founder of the school, the actual head instructor, driving around in a clunker, like a beat-up old jalopy? And I wanted to ask them, I said, does this show success to the children that are training at my school? They really couldn't respond. So I continued, and I asked them, why didn't they take their children to the school down the block? And they replied, because that you're the best in town. I then said, then why do you want me to be seen around town in a clunker and looking terrible? I noticed that one of the moms drove up in a Mercedes station wagon. And I asked her if it was okay, being that her husband was a plumber, that you have a Mercedes station wagon, and she laughed. And I think after all was said and done, that at least the other two moms that were kind of coerced into coming with this mom felt embarrassed. But this mom was caught up in the same paradigm that I think a lot of other parents are, that all educators should be poor. Like a school teacher, I am in the belief system that if someone is going to change my child's life in a positive way, then I want them to be a success and paid well for what they do. This leads me into my third thing. What is it that separates your school from the competition? Now, don't think of your competition as martial arts schools, but to some extent, I know that they are competition. But due to the sheer volume of people that do martial arts, really another martial arts school isn't your competition. Your competition is t-ball, soccer, other activities that may get your students to quit, boredom, lack of professionalism, and I could go on and on. But what do you do that baseball and all these other sports don't? And here's the line that I normally talk to when I explain this to a parent. I say, I believe that we are the temples of the future. We're a place that people come to, no matter what their religion, color, and creed, and they share in the same common goals with like-minded people. We can study martial arts to improve our self-confidence and attitude while walking away with a stronger mind, body, and spirit. Can other sports say that? I don't think so. So we need to find out what our USP is. What is our unique selling proposition to our clients? What are we good at, and what makes us so special? Now, getting back to number two, are you letting the people know that? So this is a question. Number four, don't assume that people know what you do and who you are and how good you are. This is a lesson that I learned the hard way just by being in a few long-term relationships that didn't stand the test of time, or I should say eternity like I thought they were, as a time frame. I realized that just because you say it doesn't mean that people are hearing it. For example, there wasn't a day in my life that I didn't tell my ex-wife that she was beautiful. I never missed a day that I said, I love you, yet even though it was being said, she wasn't really hearing it. She told me it seemed contrived, and she was, even though I was regularly telling her, she didn't believe what I was saying, just because I was saying it so much. Now, just because you think that you're giving the students something special, a special relationship, a gift of martial arts that maybe helped their lives and improved their lives forever, I don't think that every time people really see it that way. I remember showing up to my martial art classes once when I was just a student and the door was locked. After waiting some time, I left, and the next time the teacher saw me, he apologized, and I forgave him. Just easily forgave him. Now, this happened a few more times, and after each time, I believed him less and less, until it got to the point that I thought he was an out-and-out liar. Now, I don't know for sure if what he was saying was the truth or not, but I determined that I had enough evidence to believe it wasn't. Remember now that people are continually bombarded by negativity. So you, as a school owner, are always treading thinly to prove your self-worth to them. Your track record is only as good as your last mistake. So make sure you don't make any mistakes first, but if you do, bend over backwards to fix the mistakes and have the ultimate in damage control and customer turnaround. But going back to our topic, don't be afraid to tell people that you're the best in town, but only do it if you are. You know, you can't say that you have the cleanest school around when a mom could run their finger on the shelf and find an inch of dust. And you have to practice what you preach continually. You know, once you sell yourself by being the living example, then you can sell your programs for top dollar. Don't think that for a second that Mercedes or Porsche is able to sell themselves as one of the most expensive and high-quality cars by being a piece of garbage. If they were, that they would be, it would be a short-lived company and they'd be out of business. Now, for example, this is a perfect example of the Audi. Everyone knows that Audi is known for family safety and reliability. It's not the most beautiful car, although to some it's pretty nice, and they've come a long way with design. But understand that the reason why we know Audi is so safe and we know their cars are so safe during accidents is because they tell us continuously through continual marketing, advertising, letters, emails, commercials, radio spots. We know Audi is good because Audi wants us to know that they're good. So we need to let people know why we are the best. If we're embarrassed to do that, then they're going to be embarrassed to tell that to others. And if we're not sure of what we are valued at, they're not going to be sure either. Only certain segments of our society will determine great service with high worth. Only certain people will equate high dollars with high quality. There are always people out there looking for the deal. Someone would rather save $20 a month and go to a crappy martial arts school because they could save $20 a month. But I do believe if we were able to explain to them that extra $20 could give them that much more in service, they'll say to themselves, let's go for the $20. So leading into your self-worth, why don't most of us martial arts schools have multi-tiered programs? Why not add multi-tiered programs to your school? For example, for those that can't afford it, have an option that's a lower price, and for those that can, offer another alternative. Your goal should be to have a program for everyone, but except it has to fit the price. In other words, you can't charge differently for poor people and charge others more fortunate of higher price. The program has to fit the cost. So if someone can't afford the bells and whistles of your program, have something available to them, but make sure that they're getting less for it. So if you have multi-tiered programs that you can help more people that way, and for the more fortunate ones, they have things, and you have things that are more interesting to them, they'll be the ones that will go into these programs with all the bells and whistles. I could go into this more, but I think that'd be an entire conference call altogether. So what I recommend to you guys to do is to check out my website. This is my consulting website, and there are some articles that are on there on multi-tier programs, how to set them up, and so on. And this is www.takingittothenextlevel.com. And that's my selfless plug, but at the same time, I'm doing it because there's a lot of info on there. Now, back to our topic. Customers are worth what they want to spend. Realizing that many of the students are more influenced in early stages, meaning that they're highly excited in the beginning of their programs, that it may be easier to upgrade people when they're new and fresh and excited. So why not put them into a higher-level program earlier? I've talked to many people that have many of their students, the requirements are that they have to be a higher rank or they have to be there for a few years before they're able to get into the so-called Black Belt Club or next-tier program. And, you know, they can't get into these programs until they've proven themselves, and without the proof, they can't get into them at all. So this is similar to biting your nose to spite your face. We shouldn't mind. If they're willing to do it now, then let's let them get into it right now. The optimum goal is to get everyone in a higher-level program paying more for the lessons. Now, imagine this as a breakdown. If you had 100 students and you charge $179 a month, you'd be bringing in around $18,000 a month. If you only had 100 students and charge $100 a month, you'd be bringing in $10,000. So you can nearly almost double your money and have half the problems. As you know, the more students, the more upkeep, the more paperwork, the more expensive, and the more dreaded thought, the more parents, right? So if we're able to double our income by having a higher tiered program, then why not do it? And why wouldn't that be your main focus? So right now, if you have 50 students on the floor and they're charging $100 a month, you're making about $5,000. But let's say you add in a multi-tiered program, giving yourself what we call a Black Belt Club or a Master's Elite program or something else, and you're able to charge $60 more. For every one student, it's like charging it's like having a student and a half. So if I were you, I would look at your enrollment and your roster and try to add in those tiered programs. And if you do have tiered programs, then what I would suggest on doing a push to upgrade these people on a regular basis so the majority of your students are in your higher tiered programs. Look at it this way. If you raise your prices, you may get less people to sign up, but in the long run, you'll make more money. So if you increase your prices right now, you're going to make more money in the long run. It may take you a bit longer, but it also depends on you. If your goal is to be financially successful, you have two choices. Either be a high-volume, high-quality school or a low-volume, superior-to-quality school. In other words, you can have less students and make more money with less the headaches if you set yourself up for that particular mindset. Here's another story. Back in the day when I was married, my wife came home from her job in Manhattan, New York, and was excited to tell me that she just received a raise. According to the standards, she was being compensated well for her exceptionally well, great performance. She received about a 3.5% raise, which amounted to about $3,500 per year. I was shocked, but not for the same reasons that she was. I thought to myself, and I make a mental note that you should keep it to yourself when in a relationship, but it was a really poor amount of money for all the work that she put in. So I could make that in a weekend if I tried, or sometimes in a day if I did a special event. But according to my standards, she was being compensated far above in her company than lesser quality people for lesser quality performance. But I immediately went back to my school and I raised my prices $5 a month. And at that time we had about 300 students, so this brought me about $1,500 per year, per month, $18,000 per year. And if you think about that, with that small increase, not many people will balk at the price. A small increase will do a great deal. And it may be the difference of paying a car payment, running an ad, or paying down a credit card. Just alone, if you pay down a credit card, this increase would be worth that much more, plus the interest payments to you, because you'll be paying less in the long run. So this small $5 increase, while it might seem insignificant and penny-wise, it's really pretty much a large, large change in your overall billing volume and income. So if you're still unsure of making the move, then instead of increasing your prices, add a new level to your program. Not only will you add excitement, but you can increase your retention and give those the people that desire it, you'll be able to add on to the bottom line profits. The last thing I'd like to talk about before I ask some questions is people and using their gear sales. And last but not least, for those of you that know me, know that I have a store, Touch of Zen, and on the web at touchofzen.com. And this is one of our businesses that we supply martial arts and holistic supplies to the martial art industry. But it's my goal to get our students to purchase not only the required equipment from our store, but other things that that they may not be thinking of purchasing. For example, a candle or incense or a clock or ceramic statues, either for the holidays or for a gift. And we hope that the average student will purchase a minimum of $120 more in products per year. Now, if you have gear sales, and you're tying in your gear sales to your martial art program, then you're going to be getting a lot more. So if you're not maximizing your client's per purchase price, you're in retail, you're missing out as well. So imagine if you have 100 students and you charge them $120 per year, or you guesstimate that you'll sell $120 worth of gear per year, that's another $12,000 per year on your bottom line. Of course, if you only make 50% profit, you're making only, just only, $6,000 more a year. Now, this could be a mortgage payment on a home for some, or a rent on an apartment, or a car payment. So the bottom line is, what are you doing to help you keep, help your students and keep everything in-house? And I'm constantly shocked at the amount of schools that sub out this work. They just say, buy your gear from such and such a retailer. And I don't mind that, because a lot of the students, school students come to me and buy stuff, but I'd much rather sell to the martial arts school owners so that they can help their bottom line. It's my goal through Member Solutions to get everyone to raise their tuition at a minimum of $10 per month. Not only will it help the industry, but it'll help you as well. And if you're already far above your industry standards, both in your area and in the industry, then I applaud you. But I have to ask you, how much can you add on? What can you do to maximize your value? And what are you doing to share what you're worth with your clients? Remember, not everyone knows what you think they know. Helping them learn and also being the Mercedes of the martial arts is pretty much your job. I mean, we don't have to be cocky. We don't have to toot our own horn. We don't have to brag. But we do have to educate people. You know, do people really care that you're a traditional martial arts school or that you've helped people? I think they do. But if they don't know why, they automatically assume the negative part. I mean, it's just human nature these days. Just think about all the negativity that we see. Every single day in the media, there's nothing but scandal. You know, we're used to hearing things and always taking the negative side. You know, if someone is doing good and they're out there helping the community, most people are not, and I'm not trying to be negative myself, but a lot of people will say, yeah, what's in it for him? Like, for instance, I have a vending machine in my lobby of my store, which is the sitting area for our parents in our school. My daughter is 6 years old, and she came up with this idea on how we can send money to charities. So her and I researched it, and I wanted her to be a part of it, so we came up with this idea on putting in a vending machine and selling healthful snacks like, you know, cashews and almonds and trail mix and things like that. And I told her, I said, it's her job to maintain these vending machines. It's her job to count the quarters at 6 years old, put them in the quarter rolls, and we bring them to the bank. And the deal is that she keeps a good portion of it for her schooling in the future, and we send a small portion either monthly or quarterly to different charities like St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and we helped out people from Hurricane Katrina. While I'm teaching my daughter to be altruistic, at the same time, I'm teaching her how to be a business person. The reason why I bring this up is most people saw that vending machine as just another way for me to squeeze a quarter out of them. Until I educated them, and even though I've spoken about it a number of times in the lobby, there's only a small portion of the people that actually understand what it's all about. For example, I've caught parents, or not caught them, but because our rule is no food in the school, but I've seen them sneak in like a bag of pretzels and share it amongst each other so that they don't spend money on the vending machine. But when I explained it to those parents why we do what we do and why it's such a good thing, they stopped bringing in that bag of pretzels. They realized that it's okay to blow 50 cents or a dollar if it goes for a good cause. But initially, they thought it was just me trying to squeeze another quarter out of them. Not only are they paying tuition, but they're buying gear, but they thought I was just getting another quarter on my silly little vending machine business. So once they knew what I was doing, they were like, wow, it's well worth it. And it's quite amazing that your daughter's doing this, and it's quite amazing that you're teaching her these lessons. So let me explain what she's doing to my children, and maybe we could do something similar, or at least we could live vicariously through her lessons. So I think that we need to educate our people why we are the top-notch thing for them to do with their children, and also for adults themselves. So I have a little bit to finish up on, but I do want to open up the floor for a few comments and questions, because I've been just rambling for a half an hour straight without even taking a breath. So does anybody have any comments, questions, ideas? Just share them with me. And if not, I'll just get right back to action. I'm not going to try to drag it out of you. But any questions, people?
We're open.
I'm sorry, say that again, Joanne?
We're open, so anyone can ask a question at any time.
Okay, anybody open up a question? Let me hear what you have to say.
Great. I have a question.
Sure.
This is Jay Larkin. Nice to talk to you, Ellie.
Jay, how are you?
Awesome.
Are you a member of Next Level, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay. Never mind.
I was wondering if you could flesh out for us your third point with the higher-tiered program.
Sure.
Just basically step one, step two.
Okay, here we go. Basically, in my school, we have five levels to the martial art programs that we have available to the students. The first level is our most basic program. Now, the most basic program is what we call our Ruby plan, and it's really just 3 days a week. In my programs, though, we don't charge for tuition, for our promotions. We don't charge for striping on the belts. Everyone who gets promoted gets their belts, and their certification is no charge whatsoever. Although, in defense of the people out there that charge for testing, I used to charge for testing, but I just felt that there was a negative thing attached when I asked for someone to get their promotion and then pay me money. So what I did was is I just built it into the price of my program. It just makes it a lot easier. That's something that you should consider. If you want to raise your prices, raise them enough and say, hey, listen, you usually spend $150 a year on testing. I'm charging only $175 a year more, but you're never going to get charged on testing again. But anyway, our basic program includes 3 days a week. Initially, you get your first uniform. After that, you have to buy your own uniforms, and that's basically it. And, of course, the testing. The next level, the next tier of programs that I have available is what we call our Black Belt Club. Now, I totally recommend against using the name Black Belt Club. If you heard me before, you've heard why, because it just puts a negative tone on the membership. People think that you have to be a black belt in order to be in the Black Belt Club, or you need to be close to black belt in order to be in the Black Belt Club. So I would suggest calling it your accelerated training program. And then you charge more money, and you offer things to them. Like, for instance, in our Black Belt Club, we don't do the traditional Black Belt Club where we would give them a special class per week or a special classroom where only Black Belt Club members go. But basically what I do is I give them 12 special classes a year on the last Monday of every month, and everybody, there's three different levels, which is called our youth, our Mighty Ninja, Little Ninja, and our youth program and adults. And anyway, they get the 12th last Monday of every month class, then they get three specialty seminars where I bring in people from world-renowned teachers, like I just had in a buddy of mine from the UK fly in from England and teach a special day for those members. Then they get 10% off on all they purchase in our store and blah, blah, blah. So the next tier would be what we call our Masters Elite program, which is the same as the Black Belt Club and all the benefits except they get 20% off on all their purchases in our store, and they get three additional seminars a year, which are world-renowned teachers. Like last year I brought in Hegan Machado, Dan Severin, and Frank Shamrock to my school. For all Masters Elite members, those guys got those seminars for free. I opened those seminars up to the public as well, so I was able to make my money back and some, as well as supply this unbelievably added benefit to my Black Masters Elite members, and they're able to come for free.
Okay, question.
Sure.
Black Belt, whatever we end up calling it, Black
right.
Belt Club, three seminars a year.
Correct.
Masters Club, they get an additional three seminars a year.
Correct, which is six total, and the 12 classes per year.
10% equipment, et cetera.
And 20 for the Masters.
20, 12 Mondays for each. And then your price goes from, say, 120 to
well,
what,
for my
Black Belt Club?
Black Belt Club is $350 more per year.
And you do like a one-time or over time?
It's entirely up to them. I let everyone budget it into their payments or pay me a la carte. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
I prefer to put it in my billing just so my billing check increases.
Sure.
Because, you know, in essentially you want to have a large billing check coming in every month. I'm not a firm believer of payouts and cash-outs, although I do them, but I only do them at a small percentage. I'd rather know that I have a safety net. And I know that this is a clashing philosophy with a lot of consultants, but, you know, because they say, well, students will stay for X amount of time, might as well get the money up front, so in case they quit, you still have it. And, you know, that's a good philosophy, and I do believe that is true to some extent. But I'd much rather be bringing in $30,000 or $40,000 per month on my billing rather than maybe 20 and trying to hit cash outs, and if I don't, I'm going to lose money. So I'd rather have that safety net of knowing what I'm going to bring in every month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but and then the next tier that I have in my program is we have a team leadership character development program, as well as having an instructor training program, what we call our ITP program. For the instructor training program, it's $695, and that's a 6-week or a 9-week course. And for my team leadership character development program, we have a yearly program, and it's $595 extra for the year. And they get a half an hour class every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9:30, just for team leadership character development. We teach them everything that's not martial art related. Well, in a way it is, but it's not. It's about speaking in public. It's about goal setting. It's about time management. It's about conflict resolution. It's about socialization skills and so on, which is far above any other things that are taught in a normal martial art class. It's things that I've spent thousands upon thousands of dollars going to Tony Robbins, Brian Tracy, Deepak Chopra seminars and learning. Now I teach it to my students, and it is unbelievable. Does that answer your questions?
Actually, for the structure of Black Belt Club and Masters Club, yes, it did. Thank you.
Do you have another question? I could also ask her that as well.
Actually, I do.
Okay, go fire.
Your input on sequential curriculum.
Right.
Rank A to rank B to rank C, 1, 2, 3 with the curriculum versus rotating curriculum.
Okay.
You know, a system that actually organizes how to disseminate information that will get a good student, yet at the same time, of course, keep them motivated to keep training.
Okay. Well, me in particular, I don't follow the traditional rotating curriculum, so to speak. I have a very stringent kind of requirement level because I do the art of ninjutsu and jujitsu. We're very much a art that has to baby step our way through, and each level they get to, they can learn the next level of techniques based on their ability, because if I don't do it that way, people end up getting really, really hurt. So it's not like I'm in just a basic system of martial arts where I could teach one kata to a black belt 1 month and then to a white belt the next month, because everything that we do is equally as difficult as they get in the higher ranks. So for instance, if someone could do a throw at brown belt level and tear someone's shoulder out, and if we taught that to a white belt, most people would get injured. So I like the idea of the excitement within a revolving or rotating curriculum. So like within our Q level, our levels of belts, like white belts for instance, we'll have two different levels, which is a stripe at the halfway point. So they go from no stripe and then they have a stripe. So we'll rotate that curriculum around the white belt. But I teach classes for each rank. So we have a beginner and white belt class, then we have an individual yellow belt class, individual green, individual blue, purple, brown, and then an individual black belt class. So we're able to do that. We're able to locate the curriculum within the level of belt that they're at.
I see. So you just divide out the level of difficulty that's appropriate for a level, and a particular level might have two, possibly three ranks.
Exactly.
Understood.
And I just want to say that there are other schools out there that are doing rotating curriculum, and it works perfectly for them, but it really is all based on curriculum. And it's based on the severity of the curriculum, and some of the curriculum, it wouldn't matter. But for my particular style, I think I'm kind of loopholed into it where I have to do it this way, because if not, we're going to have a lot of people getting really hurt.
I understand. Well, I agree. Where the confusion comes in is when you study schedules from other schools.
Right.
And they have a basic class, then they go right into a black belt master clubs type class.
Right.
And it's not separated by ranks. They have the rotating curriculum. They're charging.
Yeah, you see, you know what? We don't. You know what's kind of interesting is I don't really. The difference between my black belt club and my master's elite has nothing to do with curriculum, actually. Although the people that are in my black belt club and my master's elite will get extra stuff, they're not necessarily getting stuff that's above their rank. That's almost like taking, and this is why I disagree to some extent with the rotating curriculum, it's like saying, okay, I just joined today, I'm a white belt, but being that I have a rotating curriculum, tomorrow I'm going to see the techniques the black belts are performing. So to me, why would it matter if I'm a black belt or not? Because it's not, you don't have to be really that much better to be a black belt, because all the techniques are just easy. You know, and it's boring to me at that point. So we train everything as if you were going from first grade to high school. Of course, at first grade you learn at one level, at high school you learn at another. That's just my opinion, but I'm not saying that. That's just the way I see it, but it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It just doesn't work for me. Any other questions out there?
I have a question.
Okay, let's start with ladies first.
When you guys implement your tuition increases,
right,
how do you go about doing it? I mean, because if you say you were going to raise your tuition $10 a month, do you do that for just new students, or how do you phase that into your current students?
Well, that's a great question. Well, first, immediately I initiate it for all new students.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will, being that we're a agreement-based school, meaning that we do have a yearly agreements that are set at a certain price, I can't just say, Mrs. Smith, we raise our prices, now your contract is null and void, all prices are going up, so I have to grandfather those people in. So you have two choices. You could wait till their agreement is up before you tell them, or you could tell them as they're in their agreement so that they know that when it gets to the time that there's going to be a price increase. I think that that's the best way.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you have a choice of grandfathering your old people in for a period of time. In other words, if you have a really huge increase, you don't want to maybe say, Mrs. Smith, you used to be paying $50, now you're paying $150, and put them in a shock. You might want to say, for you, being that you're a long-term student, and, you know, you've been with me for so long, we're going to only raise you to $100 this year, and over the next 2 years, you're going to get up to the going rate. But that's your choice. But I really have found that people realize that prices go up. They just do. Look at us. You know, when the gasoline prices went up, everyone was balking. Like, you know, we were so annoyed. They were going up to $3 a gallon, whatever it was. And now it's still around $2.50 to $2.80 a gallon some in New York State. But we're paying the money anyway. We're not happy about it, but we're doing it because we know that that's the way it is. You can only whine and complain about certain things. You know, you have no choice. If you really don't want to do the martial arts anymore, then you won't pay the price. But if it's important to you and you like it, you're going to find a way to stay, especially if the school is selling themselves as the most professional school around and you're the best and people identify with you and like you. They shouldn't want to go somewhere else for $20 a month, $240 a year. Unless you're just, you know, you're outrageous as far as your prices. But I believe people can afford to charge a lot more. We could, as school owners, afford to charge a lot more. And I don't think we'll even really see that much of a shift in our student base. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. Please tell me if I don't, because sometimes I tend to ramble. So I get thrown off track. My staff tells me that all the time. I'll go into this big, long-winded, and I'll be off into 10 different stories, and I never got the question answered. So, okay, how about the other gentleman? What was your question?
Yes, sir. This is Larry. We're from Atlanta. How you doing?
Hey, Larry. How are you?
All right. This may or may not be on target.
Okay.
I'm talking about pricing. This may be the subject for another conference, but I'll ask the question anyway.
It's okay, fine.
Regarding pricing, when you sit down with someone, of course, you want to show them a great intro, so you show them the value.
Right.
You want to be great on the floor for your upgrades. Now, when you sit down with the people and you want to close them,
right.
Do you have a closing? I'm sure that you have a closing system. Is that something you talk about now, or do you want to do it at a later time?
No, this is fine, because it actually does totally tie into what we have to say. The most important thing is you mentioned two things which I think a lot of people believe that and you may have just said it this way, but I do hear this often, is that we have a dynamic training class. In other words, we have an initial trial class, and it's exciting. And then we have, you know, we come and we take them into the office, and we expect people to just jump at the bit and sign up. But we don't have all the other things that are there. Like, for instance, when I walked into Dawn Barnes' school in California. Now, Dawn wrote the book, The Black Belt Club, and she's an awesome, awesome teacher, and her schools are so pro. They're amazing. When you walk in, it's like walking in a Hollywood cafe. It's just totally gorgeous, from the bathrooms to the front desk, spotless, clean, professional. The staffs are all in uniform, and this is what sells people, too. So we tend to not have that in place. A lot of times people will come to our school, will kind of not even explain what we do, shuffle them onto the floor, teach a dynamic class, and then hit them with prices. It's almost like taking someone, they come to our school, and we throw them into a Ferrari, drive them around the parking lot, and try and sell it to them, not even really knowing what they're looking to buy. So we have to be professional every step of the way. We have to have a sales binder to explain our programs. We should maybe even, if possible, which I'm working on right now, we're in the process of editing, having a video so that people could see what we're all about, explaining the benefits, self-discipline, focus, control, kids, teens, adults, why our martial arts are so good, testimonials on video. So after we do the trial class, the parent sits with the child and watches our video, then we'll come in and go over our program with them and show them prices. You want to sell them every step of the way, and when I say sell, sometimes it gives me the feeling that selling is a bad word. But really what you want to do, as if we were to develop a relationship with someone that we're trying to court, you know, we want to sell ourselves to them so that they feel that we're appealing. You know, if we meet someone and say, hey, would you like to go out to dinner, and then we make all these bad, you know, impressions, people are going to say, absolutely not. So what we want to do is, from this very step that they walk through our door, the smell, the look, the way they're treated has to be top-notch. It's like going into a posh restaurant in Manhattan.
we need to make sure, you know, just like they do, that we're treated like gold. Sometimes in these posh restaurants, though, we're treated like second-class citizens because they're so busy. Have you ever gone into a store or any other place where people treat you terribly and how you feel, or you feel ignored? Sometimes in martial arts schools that happens. I'll stop in schools throughout the country, and I'll wait for like 20 minutes and not even have a person come over to me and say hello or what can I do for you, not even give me the time of day. And then when I ask a question, the teachers are so ignorant, they'll say, well, here's my business card, come in when you want, or this is what you do, and they don't really even think of it like that they're killing themselves. Slowly, they're killing their business. And then they'll put the same person on the phone with me going, how can I grow my school? When in the very essence, just basic business etiquette is how that you could charge more. Everybody needs to become more professional in this industry. That's definitely the biggest problem I see. So did that answer your question right as far as the sales go?
Well, you touched on it. But A, you show them, I mean, how do you get them to do business today?
I think on this one I kind of stayed on task. The way I get them to do business today is all the things that I said. From the minute they walk through the door to the trial class being exciting to how they sit down in the lobby and see our presentation binder, how I speak to them, and then how I get them to sign. You know, I could give you a million different technical names for closing a sale, the puppy dog sale, the Ben Franklin sale, all this stupid stuff. But really, the bottom line is they're going to buy if they're sold.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, if you are the top-notch professional of your industry and you're giving them and showing them how you could benefit them in every way, shape, or form, then they're gonna sell themselves, really.
Well, I mean, I'm fine. I got an 80% closing ratio now.
That's
I'd like
great.
To be 95.
Well, then I would look at certain things that you could do to maybe get the message across that you're not doing out of the things that we've mentioned. Like, one, do you have a professional sales binder? Two, do you have a video presentation? Three, what are you doing to get the people hooked in? Do you do diagnostic selling? Like, are you asking them what they really need and then selling to their, you know, their desires? Or are you just kind of saying, this is what we do. We're the best in the industry. We got great martial arts. And then at the end result, you know, you could say, I have the best self-defense system in town. And they might go, well, I don't want to do self-defense. I really only want to do it to lose weight. And you never really touched on that. Now you start to try to sell them on weight loss. And they're going, yeah, he's just telling me that now because I mentioned it. Meanwhile, that's not wasn't his main selling point. So diagnostic selling is actually asking the client and listening to them and then showing them how professionally you could fit into their lives and why you'll benefit them.
Well, I'm doing everything you mentioned except for the video, so that might be the key.
Yeah. And, well, I'm sure. Hey, listen, 80% close rate is pretty darn good. You know, so that's awesome. So if you could keep that up and tweak it just a little by approaching, you know, whoever's selling, if your staff is selling for you, and if you're just doing all the sales, learn as much as you can about sales, but also just really communicate clearly how you could benefit them. But really the main thing about communication is listening. So find out from them first what they really want out of what you do.
Thank you, sir.
I hope I answered your question. Anybody else out there?
Yeah, Randy.
Okay, there's two people, so let me use the gentleman first.
Renzi, it's Dwight Woods.
Hey, Dwight, how are you, my friend?
Good, how you doing?
Great.
Earlier on, you had described two scenarios where, in the first instance, you made sure to say the right things on a consistent basis,
right.
And still it didn't work out. And so I'm a little bit unclear as to, you know, how do you go about? I mean, you want to tell people the right things all
right.
the time,
right?
But I guess explain to me, because I'm unclear as to what the proper method is.
Well,
you know, because you don't seem to be able to control what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is it. You know, there's only a certain portion of the people that will actually hear what you're saying. You know, we're selective listeners. So in my personal situation where I was saying, I think you're the greatest, I love you, and you're beautiful, even though I was saying it, they were hearing it differently. Now, there's nothing that I could have done differently other than maybe ask them what they were actually hearing. Like I just told this one gentleman, knowing what they wanted to hear. Like maybe to them or to that person in my specific situation, it might not have been the words that they wanted to have. It might have been the feeling or and a physical thing that I could have given them that were different to show what I was trying to say. So that's why I say it's really most important to listen and find out the desires of the person. Because I just did a personality profile of my business, and I actually was profiled, and then they give you a report back, At one point, Member Solutions did this at their boot camp, and I couldn't believe this company that did this for me. I answered 100 questions in 10 minutes, and some of the questions I couldn't even find the answer that I would have chosen. But after I was all done, this thing pegged me like 99%. It knew exactly who I was and how I do things. And then it had a list, which I thought was very interesting, and it said, printed out a list saying how employees should deal with you. How, you know, and it was cool because it actually spelled out everything that I desire. So it knew me, and it really was accurate, and I actually handed it out to all my employees to say, if you really want to get the best results with me, follow these 20 steps, and you'll probably get everything that you've ever wanted. If we could do that with our clients by knowing what they want ahead of time, we'd be able to sign them up a lot easier. Like, for instance, I once learned this from John Graydon, I think, and he had said, like, someone calls your school and they say, hi, is Master Lee there? And even though they have the wrong number, some people would go, I'm sorry, you got the wrong number, there's no Master Lee here. I go, no, he's not here, how can I help you? You know, it's not misleading, but at the same time, he's not there. Just like if they say, do you do Taekwondo? And I don't do Taekwondo, I would say, what do you like about Taekwondo? And they'd say, well, I like kicking. And I'll go, wow, well, we do kicking here, just like Taekwondo, or similar to it. Versus saying, I'm sorry, we don't do kicking. Or trying to say, well, we do ninjutsu, and ninjutsu's better than this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, well, we're the best self-defense style, and they may think that they don't even want self-defense. So it's about listening, really. It's about knowing what your client needs, and then selling to their desires. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just like as if you were to charge more money, and then you come to them with a list of things and say, look, I'm charging $200 more a month, and you're going to get to come to me 15 more times a month, and you're going to get to wear this special pink uniform. And then right away they go, well, I can't come 15 times a month. I don't like pink. So all the benefits that you're trying to sell to them really don't appeal. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's reminded me of, I just saw this thing in a network marketing broadcast, and it used anagrams for the word listen.
Right.
And so it's like, be silent and listen.
Right.
And then enlist.
Yes.
You know?
It's so true. You know, people don't know how to listen. We've never been taught how to listen, really.
Right.
So just like we could read a book and read five pages and not really remember that we've even read on what we read on those five pages, that's what happens when people talk to us all the time. We listen selectively, and sometimes we're just not getting the part. I've had some of my guys, my top guys, I've watched them sell, and they've just gone on, and the person gave them like five different hints, let's close this deal, and they kept on selling. Finally, I had to step in and just say, great, let's get you signed up. Phil, this guy, or John will talk to you, or Joe will talk to you tomorrow about all this other stuff, but let's get you signed up right now and get you out of here because I could see you're in a rush. They just didn't realize when they had the sale done, and they just kept on, they oversold, they overtalked. They were talking at the people, not listening to them and talking with them.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the same thing.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Thanks. And last question, anybody out there?
All right, can I have a question, sir?
Yes.
All right, my name is Tanya Lapiro with Higher Dimensions.
Hi, Tanya. How are you?
Good, thank you. You touched a little bit earlier with another lady about the increase in tuition, but I'm not exactly sure how often you would do it. Is it like an annual increase?
Well, technically, we could raise our prices annually. There's no reason why we shouldn't because everything else around us goes up annually.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yet, we're creatures of habit. We kind of do it when we absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, or when we're brave enough to do it. So there's nothing to say that each year you can't increase your tuition 5%.
Now, is it good to just be consistent with it?
Well, if you decide to do it that way, you should. Like, for instance, we haven't raised our tuition in about 2 years, so I'm guilty of this as well. And we're just raising our prices on our birthday parties. It's been like 3 years since we've raised our prices on our birthday parties. So I'm like, it's about time. But I do recommend to you that you stay consistent. So if you even raise your prices 2% a year, within 5 years you'll be 10% higher than you were. It's sort of like a lease on a building. When you rent your building, the landlord immediately signing of the lease has a 2% or 1% or 5% increase in the lease. So you know that in the calendar day of your anniversary, your rent is going up. Why would it be any different with our martial arts schools?
And now, is there a certain percentage that's good to stick with?
Well,
so that's
again, this is something that I couldn't answer to you, but I would say, you know, you'd be safe raising your tuition, I don't know, maybe like 5% a year.
Okay.
But that's, again, I don't want you to just run out and do that because then, again, there are little there are different factors that are involved with raising your tuition, and one is the level of the quality at your school and, you know, what you're giving to the clients. So if they're feeling unhappy with what they're getting, they're never going to be happy about the tuition increase. But if they're overwhelmed with the quality of service, they're not going to balk at a 5% increase a year. I don't think. But then again, this is something that you need to feel out. But I do believe that we are so far undercharged. One of my best friends had just enrolled his child in the Sylvan Learning Center. And for the program, for the year or the half year, it cost him $15,000. He knows it's a benefit. He had to do this because his child needed work in school. But 15 grand is amazing. Imagine we could get 15 grand a year for tuition. Wouldn't that be unbelievable? But why can't we, really? Honestly, when we think about it, the lessons that we give in life, the values that we give to people, the ideals that we teach, the morals, the code, the body, mind, and spirit kind of lesson, isn't that worth more than $80 a month? It's kind of sickening. I went to a Tony Robbins seminar. I paid $3,000 for the weekend. Granted, I walked on hot coals, and I cried, and I laughed, and I screamed, but it was 3 days, and I spent $3,000. Why, as martial artists, do we feel that $100 a month is too darn much? I mean, we should probably be at the $600 or $700 a month range. That's honestly been my honest opinion. Although I'm not there either, but I do believe that we're worth it. So we have to break the paradigm. Does that help you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think I'm going to have to wrap it up. So I want to, hey, this time I got a lot of people asking me questions. It makes me feel good because I can answer them. But I also, I was happy to share this information with you. I really would like to do this. I'd like to offer anyone on this conference call and anyone that wants to, you have full access to email me at any time. And I say this every month, and people go, why the heck does he do this? And then really, honestly, it's because I know that not a lot of people are going to take advantage of it. But email me at Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I-N-I-N-J-A, Renshi, L-I-Ninja, at AOL.com. That's R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I-N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com, Renshi, L-I-Ninja, at AOL.com. I also recommend that you check out my websites. And this is the reason why. My martial arts school website is a good website for advertising. We get about 40,000 hits a month on this website. Not nearly the amount of students, but I'm in an art that people just love to read about. Ninjutsus, this whole thing. So it's lininja.com. That's L-I-N-I-N-J-A.com. The second site that I'd love for you to see, and I'd love to offer you guys to get in on our client appreciation program, which means that you'll be a wholesale account, and it's atouchofzen.com. It's A, touch, T-O-U-C-H, of, O-F, Zen, Z-E-N, .com. We are one of the leading suppliers in martial arts supplies out there. And then the last and final thing is taking it to the next level, .com. We've gotten this month alone like 15 new members on that site, and everyone is just saying how great it is for their martial arts school. So www.takingittothenextlevel.com. And if not, just email me. I'm free to give out questions. I want you to tell me how you're doing. Tell me what you need. I will help you. If you need me to look over something, I will try my best to get to it. And then also sign up for Melody and myself on our one-on-one conference calls. You have us available to you. I'm available 3 days this month real quickly. The days are, let me look at where it is again. I'll look at my calendar quick. It's going to be March 8th, March 14th, and March 24th, where you could get 20 minutes one-on-one on any questions personally that you'd like to ask me about your school. It's confidential, and I just love to work with you guys and help you. And thanks again, Joanne, for all your help, for being such a professional. Everybody just know that Joanne is just the top, and she's like the most unbelievably organized person, and she's always reminding me what I need to do and staying on top of me. So without her, I couldn't be who I am today. And you guys call her up and ask her questions if you need to. She'll take care of you. And Member Solutions is the top billing company and consulting company in the industry. So take advantage of it and recommend your martial art friends to the school and to the service. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks so much, Allie. Have a great day.
All right,
thank you, Allie.